You just realized that you needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? Well, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BWN. Just go to Indeed.com/BWN right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BWN. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com. Sign up. Join the community. And plus, we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday. It's time for the coach approach. And I'm excited because I'm here with the man, Ant, 49ers cutback. We're going to be talking draft strategy today. Ant, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. Yeah, and I'm enjoying the process of draft in general and just getting involved in all these players, and I'm starting to find conviction on certain guys, and I think that's a lot of fun because you just find yourself like gravitating towards certain players and you're like, no, this is gonna be a guy, and this is one of the 49ers guys, and it takes a while to get there, and sometimes I've watched the guy more than once and then all of a sudden something clicks and I'm like, wait a second, like there's something different when I get into certain films, and I'm excited about the process.
Oh, I love it. I got to say, shout out to my man, Yatsik. He says, hashtag CC, sick at home today. He's an educator. So hopefully those kiddos are taking advantage of the sub. He says, some Chapman will make me feel better. What's up, faithful? Okay, here we go. We got an off-brand question based on my man, Yatsik, already. Is there a draft trope or something that people put out there that whenever you see it, you just get really, really upset with? This is not in our notes, by the way. But like for me, for example, I hate it whenever people say, like, I'll post a mock draft or anybody, and the most common response is, oh, should go best player available. Or whenever they say, oh, that player won't be there. Like, it just like immediately after you post anything, oh, well, it's not BPA. And, oh, well, he's not going to be there anyway. Like, just on every single post. I try not to do it, but I hate whatever. I put a lot of time into something, I'll put it out there. And just like the first message is, it's the same guy every time. You know who you are. You watch the show. And I appreciate you subscribing. But like that bothers me. Is there something that happens during the draft season that just kind of like irks you or makes you sick, like my man Yacek?
I think the main thing is just that everyone goes about which guys they think are going to be great, and they will get stuck on their guys. And if you bring up anyone else, you are completely wrong. And I think when it comes to 49er fans, it's got to be offensive line. People yeah. want offensive line first round, second round, third round, all rounds. And it's like, that's not what's going to happen. And, you know, it came a lot last year. Everyone wanted a different player in the first round. And I was sitting there saying wide receiver is a possibility. I was sitting there saying Dominic Pooney in round three, and you no were. One liked it. And it's like, that's just how the 49ers operate. Just lock into what they do, because this is what they do. But I would say it's that. I mean, just nobody really knows what's going to happen, right? It's a complete crapshoot when you're trying to figure out who they're going to take. And I just think sometimes people take it a little too serious, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, everyone's got their own perspectives, and somebody's going to be right. It's not always going to be you or me or anybody else.
That's my thing. Like, I just don't understand the like professional like poop on everything guy or girl. It could be girls that just like, it doesn't matter what you post. It just, oh, well, that's wrong. Rah, 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 rah. And then just like all the time, it's just like, man, what is that? I don't understand. But shout out to my man, David R. Hate. We got the haters ball in the house already. I love it. So what we're going to be focusing on mostly today, I came up with a couple topics. My man Ant came up with a couple of topics. And we're just going to go over kind of the 49ers draft strategy, some things, you know, what we think the 49ers are into and not into, and hopefully dispel some of the myths out there with the way the 49ers operate. And my first question, Ant, whenever I know I'm talking 49ers cutback, I got to go offensive line. And one of the things is this, I don't know, is it a misnomer? Or is it a fact that an offensive tackle has to have that 34-inch arm length for the 49ers? Because the combine's coming up. Combine list just came out. This is something that, well, doesn't have 34-inch arms, he's a guard. And whether I'm talking about Banks, Will Campbell, Josh Simmons, Armon Mempu, if I post anything on anything, well, he's a guard. He's a guard. So do the 49ers have that 34-inch arm threshold for their offensive tackles? Yes, no, talk to me, Ant.
No, they don't. This is not something that Chris Forster worries about. When he's looking at offensive tackles, he's looking for a certain type of skills, arm length is not one of those things. He's looking for a guy that can move in space. Usually they start with the run game. They're trying to find somebody that can get out in the open field and make the blocks that work for the outside zone. And then he's looking for somebody that has the speed to get out on a pass rusher, a speed rusher that he can stop them there. And then they've got to be able to sink their hips and anchor when the time comes. Arm length means nothing to them. If you prove that you can do that, you're going to be fine. And really, if you have really good hand placement and you're a good fighter with your hands and overall technique, you can overcome arm length. We're talking about a half an inch here for a lot of guys, especially since some of the edge rushers aren't exactly working with 34-inch arms either. So it's all about hand placement. It's all about who's going to win to get to the chest plate. And if you do it right, you can win. So that's one of the things they're worried about. Another sneaky thing the 49ers worry about is lateral quickness. Being able to jump back inside when somebody makes an inside move and you've overset has been huge. Recovery speed. And that's why I like a lot of the offensive tackles, especially Josh Simmons, because he can do that. He's very nimble. The problem for him is he's got a knee injury that will probably wipe him off the 49ers board, which is a little upsetting because he's a good offensive tackle. Probably would have been a top five pick if it wouldn't have been for the injury. But that's what they look for. They don't look for arm length.
And again, just to kind of stick with this, Colt McKivitz, 33-inch arms. Jalen Moore, 33-inch arms. Like, so I understand whatever we're talking arm length, and arm length matters. I'm not sitting here saying arm length does not matter. I'm not trying to discount that for the offensive tackle position. However, you talked about what they care most about. They talk about the feet. Well, I think the best footwork for any offensive tackle prospect in this draft is Missouri's Armon Mempu. Dane Brugler put out his top 100 with The Athletic. He had Armon Mempu at number 8 overall. Are you seeing similar things with the Missouri tackle and that he started almost exclusively at right tackle? Is this somebody that the 49ers will see as a tackle one? And then I want you to answer that, and then I'm going to take it a different place after that. So are the 49ers going to grade Armon Membu as a tackle prospect?
I think they will, but I think they're going to grade him as a right tackle prospect. I don't see him playing left tackle in the NFL just from what I've seen on film. I think he's more of a right side guy. He's got the skills. He's got the technique. He could be a guy that plays right tackle for the next 10 years, and I think you'd feel comfortable with the play that he's going to have and the aggression that he's going to show at the point of attack and the second level. There's a lot to like about Armon Membu. I just don't see a perennial left tackle the way that you see like Trent Williams or one of those guys. Could he do it? Yeah, I think he could. I don't know if he would ever be a top 15 tackle at left tackle. I think at right tackle, he'd probably be a little bit better. And so I that's where I see him right now, but I think that he's a possibility for the 49ers, and I do think they'll grade him out as tackle, not guard.
Let's go to this, and shout out to my man, Allen. Will we ever be in a position again to get another franchise tackle? I don't know if we're going to be drafted this high, kid, but is there a franchise left tackle in this draft, in your opinion?
I think that's the scary thing, is I think you're in the top 11, and I think if you were in the top 11 last year, you would have got yourself a franchise tackle. There were four or five guys that were franchise tackles last year. This year, it comes down to projection. What do you see from a Kelvin Banks Jr.? I think he's the one with the most upside. Josh Simmons with the quick feet. I think those two guys are the guys that I think are plug-and-play, potential left tackle, perennial left tackle guys. After that, it's a little scary. Now, I would say those two guys. Now, I know Will Campbell's really good, but I see him kind of as a right tackle guard in the NFL. Maybe he could do it. But I think these guys probably would have went 15 to 30 in other drafts. And I think that's one of the things that we got to take into consideration is there's not a Joe Alt. There's not one of those guys that's just like, this is the main guy. A lot of potential, though. If they work to potential, they could be one of those guys. I just don't see the perennial left tackle that everyone's hoping for in this draft.
I don't either. But I do, like, if I'm grading, I need a left tackle, it's Kelvin Banks Jr. Like, that is the guy, in my opinion. And then it'd probably be Josh Simmons. That would be the next one, but then the injury creeps into it. Now, I think all of the top, I think Membu, Banks, Campbell, Simmons can all play guard. I think they could all play guard. I'm not concerned about that. I think they could all play right tackle. Which one could be, if I had to bet, one of these guys is going to be an all-pro left tackle. I'm putting my money on Kelvin Banks. Then I'm putting my money on Josh Simmons, and I'm not betting anything else on any of the other prospects personally. Like, am I crazy in saying that? Like, I feel that way because of the footwork, because of the athleticism. That now, is Kelvin Banks consistent with that footwork? No, he is not. Like, not at all. But you could see the shadows of, this guy's not too far off. Like, it can be there. And he's young. He's 21. He's got experience. That's why. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida? And here's the thing, Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in or out as quick as 15 minutes. And now they offer MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for this sports season. So, head to prizepicks.com, use the link in the description of this podcast, or download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code 49ers. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here's my favorite thing about this is it's just so simple. You pick two players, and let's say you're into basketball. Is Steph Curry going to score over 26.5 points? Is Jimmy Butler going to score over 20.5 points? Over, under, you get paid. If you get it right, that's where it is. So go to Prize Picks and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ers. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. And I see everybody crapping on Kelvin Banks all the time. And like, that's okay. Like, differing opinions here, I totally understand. And so, I don't know. It's just, I know we all want that franchise left tackle, Trent Williams replacement. That just ain't this draft. It's just not this draft. So here's my question to you. Here are some of the tackles that don't get mentioned a lot. I'm going to give you four names. These are guys who played tackle. Is there anybody here that you see could be a tackle for the 49ers that is a later round pick, okay? We've got Ozzie Trapillo. He's got 33.5-inch arms. Marcus Imbau, or just Marcus Bau. I think the M silent, 33-inch arms. Wyatt Mullum, 32.6 length arms. And Gray Sapel, who I think a lot of people see as an interior guy. These are round two, three, four type guys. Are any of them, do you see any of them as like a tackle fit for the Niners or a right tackle fit for the Niners?
I think it's interesting because when you first look at these guys, even when you watch their film, you see interior offensive linemen for the most part. When you're talking about Marcus Bau, I mean, that guy literally could be a center prospect. I mean, that he's one of those guys that's got that ability to move inside and play. I think I would probably go with Ozzie Trapillo as the guy that I think could play the tackle position the best. Some of the things that I've seen on film, it looks like it translates a little bit more to playing right tackle. I also think Marcus Bau could play right tackle in the NFL as well. I think Gray Sapel is an inside guy at this point. I think he's a guard center prospect. And it's funny with Milam, I think he shows right tackle ability. I think a lot of people are going to grade him at guard, but I think he could play tackle. And I just see that he's got that technique. Now, I would personally rather see him on the inside, but I could see him playing right tackle and being successful the same way Colton McKivitz is, because he's pretty much a clone of Colton McKivitz in a lot of ways. And so I think that he could do that if you wanted him to play right tackle. But it's one of those drafts where you're not really finding guys that fit the tackle mold as much as you're finding guys that fit the interior mold as much. So if you're looking for a left guard, which the 49ers are, this is a good draft to be in because you got guys that can definitely fill that role. But if you're looking for a tackle to replace Trent Williams or Colton McKivitz, it's a little bit more complicated to find that guy. You probably can find him. There's a guy here or there, but it's definitely not a draft where there's a lot of guys to pick from.
Yeah, and again, the chat, Aaron, Anthony Belt, NC State, Escalade, baby, 34.5-inch arms, Chase Lunt, offensive tackle, Emory Jones, LSU. Like, there's guys that you can throw darts at later that are day three type guys, day two, day three guys. There's a lot of names, and I do think that there's some quality depth that you can take chances at late. Like, Niners have done that in the past. That's what Colton McKivitz was. That's what Jalen Moore was. That's what Trent Brown was, even before Shanahan. Those are there. Those are there. So, all right, that's the offensive tackle spot. And I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's get to one of yours, and let's just keep bouncing back and forth with these draft strategies that we think the 49ers are going to implement.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting about the draft is the 49ers have certain rounds they normally target certain players. And we've seen them go as high as the third round for safety. Last year, they flipped the script and went second round with corner, but it was the end of the second round with Bernardo Green. Is round two too early for the 49ers to address the secondary and go with a safety or with a corner? And if they did do it, who are maybe a couple of guys that you see in that range that you would be interested in the 49ers striking on?
Yeah, it's funny. I started this earlier from Josh. He said, I've seen 49ers mocked to take Texas corner Jahdae Barron. I've seen him go all over the place. I've seen him in the 40s. I've seen him in the 30s. And I've seen him. Daniel Jeremiah has him as his number one corner, I think number eight overall. The dude's all over the place. And I think that there are some guys, and corners fall in drafts. That is something that happens. Like, tackles shoot up, quarterbacks shoot up, defensive ends shoot up the draft. Corners typically fall a little bit. Is Jahdae Barron going to be there in the second round? I doubt it. If he was, I would take him in a heartbeat. I think that dude, he's a beast. Azariah Thomas out of Florida State. He's now getting slotted the back end of the first round. If he falls a little bit to that second round, we're picking pretty early. And so, you know, if we have that 43rd overall pick, it's a little spicy. I would prefer that second round pick to be in the trenches. But, man, if one of those corners fall, or at safety, man, I think there's two safeties that you could target. If you can't play free safety, I don't want you. Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame and Andrew Mukuba. Those are two guys that I think can play that free safety role. That second round is about where I think they'll go. I think Xavier Watts goes a little earlier than Mukuba. But, man, maybe that third round, that 75th pick, Mukuba, that's kind of the sweet spot. I would prefer, kind of like what we did with Aaron Banks. I don't want to take them that high. If we trade back, you know, four to five spots and then took one of these guys, I'd like it more. Safeties, Xavier Watts, Mukuba. Those are two guys I'd be comfortable with. And corner, Jahdae Barron. I don't see him getting out of the first. Uzariah Thomas, I think, out of Florida State, has a little bit more of a chance to get out of the first. But still, a lot of people are pretty high on that guy.
Yeah, I mean, Azariah Thomas is one of my favorite secondary players in this entire draft. And if I was going corner, I think that's probably where I would start. Is I think that he's probably going to be there potentially at the end of the first round, early second round. There's a potential you could go grab him if you felt convicted. I think that's one of the things the 49ers have to feel convicted about, one of these players. And if it's a safety, John Lynch is going to have to sign off on that safety being ready to go. And I think that there's some interesting prospects. I love Andrew Mukuba. Just watching everything that he did, I think he's a real target for the 49ers. And if some way he made it to like pick 60, I think that's when the 49ers start thinking about what they did last year with Dominic Pooney and coming up a little bit. You go up and you get Andrew Mukuba, the speed, the ability to read coverage. And then he's so decisive. When he sees it, he goes. And I love that. That gives him that playmaking ability that I love to see. So I love Mukuba. Another guy that I love, that I'd be interested in, I think he's probably going to go in the first round, is Nick Amonwori. I really like him a lot out of South Carolina, the big physical player. The question marks for him are, hey, how good are the hips? Are you going to be able to sink? Are you going to be able to turn and run with these wide receivers? I think if he can show the transition when he's going through his pro day and going through some of the work and show that it relates to what he did on film, I think there's a really good chance he could be a guy that's a big-time player in the NFL. I just don't know if he'll be there at 43 when the 49ers pick, but it's tempting when you see guys like that could be game changers with that size and speed. And I wonder if you get Robert Saleh and Gus Bradley and they start looking at a player like that and they're like, you know what? This reminds us of some Legion of Boom type stuff, a guy that can play the deep third but come up and absolutely smash you with the size and frame to be able to play in the box. I think he's an interesting prospect. I just don't know if he will make it into the second round.
Yeah, my question is Amonwori, is he a free? I think he could play both. It's just, I think if you take him out of the box, you're taking away, like, he's a thumper, dude. And so that's the question with these safeties. And there's so many awesome names. Jonas Sanker from Virginia, actually like him considerably. Rod Moore from Michigan. Trey Amos. Like, a lot of these guys, there's quality and there's names that are there. It's just, man, I want a free. I just want somebody that's just a free. And I know we shift our safeties over with the jet motion, and Robert Saleh is going to continue that. But, man, I just want a clearly designed free safety. I never want to see 27 back there at free safety ever again. I don't want to see that. I'm okay with seeing number 5, not 27. And if we bring back 29, I'm cool with that. But he shouldn't be a free either. And so I really, really just hope we get a fit. We get a true fit. Invader says, you know, having Saleh and Gus gives me great confidence in hitting on these defensive draft picks. Yeah, I'm with you there. And having the coaching back and maybe free agency. We get free agency before we get to draft. A lot of people forget that. And obviously, we put the emphasis on the draft because that's how teams build champions. But I wouldn't be shocked if that free safety spot is something that's addressed in, you know, prior to the draft, in which case we're not going to be talking about these guys, but we'll see kind of how it goes. There are a lot of guys. Now, we put this, I didn't put this out. Shout out to SF Data Niners. They do a great job. They put this pick 11 mock draft consensus out, which I really did enjoy. And we talked about this a couple shows ago, but I'm just going to real quick kind of explain this to the audio listeners so that nobody's left out here. And I'm going to ask Ant who is too high on this list and who is too low on this list. Okay. So the bottom ranked players at 1%, these are mock draft consensus over 77 mock drafts. What players have gone to the 49ers to pick 11? 1%. You got Donovan Jackson, Jenty, Kenneth Grant, Jihad Campbell, Tyler Bukkie, Tet McMillan, Siobhan Revelle, and Tyler Warren. Next category, 2.6%. Nick Scorton, Benjamin Morrison, corner from Notre Dame. Next tier, 3.9%. Jalen Walker, Mason Graham, James Pierce, James Pierce. I did Jalen Walker breakdown this morning. I didn't like it. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't like it. 5%. Will Campbell, Walter Nolan, Shamar Stewart. 6%. Mikael Williams. 9%. Armand Mimbu. 11%. Josh Simmons, Will Johnson, and the winner, 18.2%. Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle, Texas. Ant, take it away. Who's too high? Who is too low?
I think first off, I look at the top of it and I see a lot of players in the trenches. And I think that makes a lot of sense. So Will Johnson kind of stands out to me as somebody that's a little bit too high. I don't think the 49ers are going cornerback this high in the draft, especially when they just hit on Renardo Green. They just signed Yamir Lenore. That's not really what you're looking for as a top flight cornerback on the outside. I think they feel like they got their two boundary corners, and so then they just need to pick up somebody else, whether it's later in the draft. We talked about Azaray Thomas, or maybe even a free agent that they plug and play in nickel situations. So to me, Will Johnson's a little high, not because he's a bad player, but just because of the fit with the 49ers. And then when I look at somebody that I think is too low, and this is probably going to make Josh a little bit happy, is Nick Scorton. I think Nick Scorton should be a lot higher with the fact that he's a 280-pound defensive end that can set the edge in the run game, but also has really nimble feet and good moves when it comes to a swim, a good spin, some things that I really like when it comes to getting after the quarterback. I like Nick Scorton a lot. The more that I watch him, the more that I like him. And so I think 11, a lot of people are like, oh, that's too rich. But there are actually mock drafts that are seeing Nick Scorton sneak into the top 10. That's how sneaky of a good player he is, and I think they're really going to like him because he meets all the criteria you look for in a 49ers defensive end. Quick first step, can set the edge, has counter moves and good hands, and is able to get to the quarterback. He played big-time college football. I think Nick Scorton is an outside right now chance to be pick 11, and for any reason they trade back and he's sitting there like 16, it's a no-brainer. I think he's a really good player, so I think he should be a little bit higher. Just think people are kind of seeing it a little bit different right now when it comes to edge rushers, but he's one of the most fluid guys for a big guy that I see in this draft.
Yeah, I have my player comps. Like, I do two player comps for every single player. So we have like 300 players we're grading. And so once the combine comes and finishes, I do an athletic comp and a play style comp, like how they're built, all those things. My play style comp, it's Cam Jordan. Like, this dude is a complete oversized defensive end, and I hate Texas A&M, and I know people always call me out for my Texas bias. Yeah, I agree. I bring that to the table, and I tried to disclose that I am a Longhorn fanatic, but it doesn't matter if I was a Longhorn or OSU fanatic. Every single team that does draft prep at all is going to be peppered with Ohio State, which I think is going to get probably 16 draft picks, and Texas, which I think is going to get about 14. Like, it don't matter if you're a Longhorn or an OSU player fan. The draft is going to be a full round of just those two schools. A&M has a lot of guys too. And Nick Scorton, I like Nick Scorton way more than Shamar Stewart. I understand why people like Shamar Stewart. he was the defensive end opposite Nick Scorton. But like, man, you watch any game tape, and I've seen too many of those Aggie schools. Scorton's the player. Like, that's the guy. And so whenever I see, you know, Scorton really low on this list, and then you see Shamar Stewart kind of higher on this, I'm just like, man, I don't know. I don't know. Is there anybody else on this that you think kind of is off a little bit? Look at NY Niners. He says, Mimbu was all me. Might be a little inflated a little bit. I think I think Armon Mimbu should be higher. I think the two highest players, the three highest players, in my opinion, should be Kelvin Bates Jr., Armon Mimbu, and Walter Nolan. If I had to say these are the three most likely picks, and I am way off, but in this current state, Kelvin Bates Jr., Armon Mimbu, and Walter Nolan. Those are clean prospects, as well as we know from injuries. They have experience. They have, you know, blue-collar traits and no character issues that I know of, and we're not going to know about those things. But those are kind of like the three biggest need positions. I think the Niners probably like Mimbu more than I do. But, like, those are kind of the top three. Who do you think should be the top three in your opinion right now?
I think that it's interesting if you look from a 49ers lens. I think it's going to have to be somebody they see that's going to be a big-time tackle. I think that when they drafted Mike McGlinchey, they saw a guy that could start at right tackle but eventually go over to left tackle and be their guy of the future because he was a top 10 pick. I think they're worried about getting burned in a similar situation, and I'm not sure they're ready to draft a potential right tackle as far as round one. I think they think they can get a right tackle in round two, round three. So my beliefs about Armon Mimbu being a right tackle kind of skew my vision on who he is. And I think, well, I could probably get somebody that's similar, like an Arianti Ursay in round two, that could do probably close to the same thing. So where's that level, right? Chris Forster talks about. So I start looking and putting my attention towards guys who are going to be game changers. And that's why I start looking at edge rushers and defensive tackles. I think when you talked about Walter Nolan, I think that's a really good option for the 49ers at defensive tackle. I think he's going to end up being consensus defensive tackle two by the time we get through the combine and everything. And I love his explosiveness. I think he's one. I like Nick Scorton. I think that those are kind of guys that I like at the top. And then when it comes to offensive tackle, Kelvin Banks. If Josh Simmons wasn't hurt, I would have Josh Simmons in this mix as well. But I can't do it. I think right now Josh Simmons is probably a 20 on. The kind of the way that Mims was last year, where everyone was worried about concerns about injury. So he kind of kicked down into like 18 to 20 range, like in that range. And so I think there's a potential for Simmons to maybe go a little bit higher. But I think the 49ers might want to wait a trade back, though. And then a lot of these guys become a little bit more relevant when you're talking, you know, 15 to 20, where I think a trade back would kind of put the 49ers, if they decided to do that, to get more picks, which they should do probably because picks 20 through 55 are really good.
Man, I'll say this. Like, I want a blue chip guy. I'm not sure there's quite a difference. And again, we just spent all this time debating Josh Simmons, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks, Mimbu. Man, if they're kind of just, you know, Baskin Robert, pick a flavor, none of them are true, like, blue chip guys, then who cares? And even with Walter Nolan, who I agree, I think from a three technique standpoint, he's the number two guy. Yeah, somebody might have a Kenneth Grant or some of those, you know, true nose tackles ahead of them that are defensive tackles. Niners want three techs. Niners want three technique guys. That's what they want. So, man, the idea of trading back is almost too attractive. And so let me front this question this way. Is there a player that comes to mind that if they are there at 11, and there might only be a few of them, for me, there's two guys. If there's a player there at 11 where you're like, no way in hell I'm trading back, run the card in. And again, somebody might say, well, that player's not going to fall to 11. But who are those players? Like, screw mock drafts, screw draft position. Who are the blue chip guys for Ant that if they are there at 11, screw everybody else, I'm taking this guy no matter what?
Yeah, there's only two guys, and they're probably the same as you, Abdul yep. Carter and Mason Graham. If for some reason they made it to 11, I'm on it. I think other than that, I'm very content falling back. Let one of these, you know, needy teams that need a position addressed early come up to 11 and fall back and pick up another day two pick. So that way you can hit on one of those players that you really like. We've seen the 49ers use this method before. That's how they were able to get Javon Kinlaw and Brandon Ayuk in the same draft in the first round. And I think that getting another second round pick or a third round pick you could use to move up into the second round could be a key way to address some of these needs. You need to address O-line, defensive line, and probably some secondary, depending on what happens in free agency. And I think that's probably the best method. And there's nobody that I'm just like completely convicted on at 11 that I don't see a potential player later. We talked about Nick Skorton. Then you talk about in the second round, there's a guy like Landon Jackson, potentially. That's another big physical edge presence that you could go with in the second round. And that's kind of what I did last year with Barton and with Pooney. Is I'm like, yeah, Barton's great in the first round, but Pooney's sitting there in round three, and I think he's going to be really good. And I think you can find some of those relative players. And I think that's when you decide on your draft board, is it worth it now, or can I get a similar player later? And I think a lot of times you can. And remember, defensive tackle, I know Walter Nolan's going to be a hotbed for a lot of Niner fans. Defensive tackle is so deep this year. You don't have to go D-tackle in round one. You could go D-tackle round two, round three, round four, and find guys that fit the 49ers season, or I mean, team. You're talking about a guy late in the draft, Aeneas Peebles. This guy's like a Javon Hargrave when it comes to his first step and his pass rush ability. So there's a lot of guys in this draft that are really good at D-tackle.
Yeah, I like that. Aaron asked this, what do you do if Travis Hunter falls? Is he one of those lists? Is he on that list? Would you even take him? He just came out and said he's going to be doing cornerback work at the combine, not wide receiver work. What are your thoughts on Travis Hunter? I don't think there's a chance he's there at 11, but let's play this hypothetical out.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would draft Travis Hunter and put him at cornerback and be like, all right, guess what, Renardo Green? You're going to play 70% of the snaps in nickel because Travis Hunter's a lockdown potential corner. I don't think he's going to get past three. No. I mean, I don't see this guy not going top two. And I don't think the 49ers would see him as a wide receiver. I do think they'd value him as a corner. And if you could get a guy that plays the way he does. Now, my only problem with him is I wonder how physical he's going to be on the outside. And the 49ers love physical corners, but I think there's a lot to like there. But I don't think he makes it out of the top five. So the same way Mason Graham and Abdul Carter would shock me to make it out of the top five, the same thing with Travis Hunter.
Yep, well said. 0% Abdul Carter is there at 11. I'd say 1.5% Travis Hunter's there, and I'd say maybe 4.5% that Mason Graham is there. Well, we're going to turn this show back over to Ant, but before we do, if you want to bet who that first overall pick is, this is where you got to go to do it. The NFL season may be done, but betting with MyBookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, it's still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there, and you make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. You're a big basketball guy. Who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers or scan this QR code to my right. And you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto, racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
All right, Ant, what do we got up next?
So Matt Barrows made an unsettling statement recently that Dre Greenlaw might want to run his own shop and leave San Francisco. And I want to know from you, John, what do you think the 49ers will do if Dre Greenlaw decides to move elsewhere? And I think this one is overlapping. It kind of is free agency. It could be the draft. It could be both. So I want to get your thought on what happens if Dre Greenlaw leaves and where they go to replace that production that you're going to get from, you know, really one of the best linebackers in the league.
Yeah, I think that the Niners really like D. Winters and Curtis Robinson, but you can't just move forward with that. That's not enough. I would prefer that over, what we had with Campbell and DFF. Like, I don't understand why we gave those guys so many snaps knowing they were not the answer long-term or short-term. That was a miss. That was absolutely terrible from the 49ers' worst defensive coordinator in franchise history. But I digress. I think you can look at this two ways, free agency and then the draft. And probably the most like easy fit for Robert Saleh is Jamie and Sherwood, who he just was with at the Jets, who played that similar spot. He played the three spot, but you could bring him in on a cheap deal. Nick Bolton has had some great years with Kansas City. I think he's going to be a little bit more pricey. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep him or not, but I think that's an option. But this draft, I think there's some really good off-ball linebackers. And I'm fresh off watching the Georgia-Alabama game and just focusing. We just put that up on our Patreon. Dude, Jalen Walker it's not great. The pass rushing, I understand. The off-the-ball linebacker, the lack of urgency, the slow diagnosing, like, I get he's a freak athlete. You got to have him on the field, and he's probably going in the top 15 picks, but not as an off-ball line. I just can't. That passive mentality is just not my thing from a Mike guy. So he's not on that list. Jihad Campbell, though. How far is he going to fall? Is he going to be there at pick 43? Is that too rich? Jihad Campbell, leadership, versatility, playmaker. Absolute beast. Can provide a lot of the things Jalen Walker does in the blitzing. He can go. And you look at the sacks and things that he's brought up at 7 sacks. Like, the dude can do that. Is second round pick too high, though, Ant? Like, the question you asked me about safeties and corners, we saw what this defense was without the number two backer. Is Jihad Campbell the second round, is that too rich for you?
I think the 49ers have proven, right? I always go back to what they've done, that it's not too rich, right? They're willing to take Reuben Foster in the first round. I don't think linebacker is a position that they're not going to value. And now you're getting Robert Saleh, whose mindset is always linebacker mentality, back in the fold. And I think that there's a potential they could go higher with linebacker than probably they would. I just don't know if they can go 43. Now, I do think Jihad Campbell is one of the better linebackers in this draft, if not the best linebacker off ball in this entire draft. So if he's sitting there at 43, there's a chance that they feel convicted about him, right? Robert Saleh might bang the table for him, or even John Lynch. And in that case, I think you would go that way. I think it could also be motivated. If 57's not there, you need a 57 kind of player coming down the bend, whether it's this year or next year. You need a guy that can step in and be that guy. And I don't know that we've seen that from D. Winters. I think we've seen good things from D. Winters, but there's a lot more he needs to develop in. Now, he can handle when it comes to covering. I mean, the guy is good in pass coverage. When it comes to making the plays around the line of scrimmage, there's not the consistency you're looking for as far as run stopping. That's what Tatum Bethune does. They're like the antithesis of each other. Yeah. You can probably put them together and make one pretty good player. But
with right our now, forces find... combined.
Right. That's what you got to find. So I think 43 is probably a good spot if he was there. I just don't know if they'll pull the trigger on linebacker. I think they have other needs, but Dre Greenlaw leaving would definitely influence that.
Yeah. But, again, there's more options than just Jihad Campbell. If you want to go kind of third round, Carson Schwechinger out of UCLA, he fits the mold perfectly. He just doesn't have a lot of experience. Chris Paul Jr., who the Niners just met with, that's kind of a third to fourth round guy, which I think is more likely. Yeah, it's way more fun to put these stars like Jihad Campbell in that mold, and yeah, that's great. But again, trenches, man. I'm just going to keep going back to this. It's where teams win. And I think it's where the 49ers need to return to. They've just missed so many. And I love this question that just came across. And I kind of want to get your take on this as well. Kyle says this: how many holes do the Niners have to fill immediately? I just want to focus on the defense, okay? Because I want to count these out. So let's start up front. You need two defensive tackles. You need one more edge. You need a number two backer. You need a nickel, or not necessarily a nickel corner, but a number three corner, and you need a free safety. That's six. That's six spots you have to fill. Those aren't luxuries. Those are, you have to have two DTs, you have to add an edge, you have to add a number two linebacker, you have to add a three corner, have to add a free, like, have twos. Those aren't luxury picks. Kyle Shanahan, I know you want to put wide receivers everywhere. These are have twos. That's just on the defensive side. Now, okay, we're talking Kyle Shanahan luxury picks, and we're going to stick with this. What do we do now with the wide receiver spot? Let's flip it, because I think that this goes back and forth. Debo ain't playing here next year. That seems to be established. IU coming off the injury. All right, what's that look like? What does the wide receiver depth chart look like? Where's everybody playing? X, slot, Z, all that stuff for training camp. I get week one. Everybody wants to talk week one, but you got to practice for week one in training camp. So is Juwan Jennings the X? Is he the slot? Is he both? Where's Pearsall? What are we doing with these wide receivers, Ant?
Yeah, I think early on, too, I don't know about you, but I don't know if Brandon Ayuk's going to be ready training camp day one. Juwan Jennings right now would be the X. And then you're talking about Ricky Pearsall, you know, playing the Z, and you're trying to work in Jacob Cowing where you can. But there is a depth issue for the 49ers. That's why when I look at the roster the way it is right now, if you're moving on from Deebo Samuel, which it's starting to appear that they're going to from all of the hoopla that I'm hearing in the media, I'm guessing that they have to go veteran wide receiver and maybe even hit a draft pick or an undrafted free agent, somebody like that. And so there is a chance that they go veteran wide receiver. And I don't necessarily think it's going to be somebody completely cheap. Going into the offseason, I was thinking it was going to be somebody that was extremely cheap. You know, a guy that you put on the back end like MVS or Mac Hollins or somebody like that that could either stretch the field or be physical. I thought that those guys were probably options. But now, if Ayuk's not coming back until October, which is I've heard the whispers that that's what it's going to be, that potentially they expect him back October, the time that he would come in and play. If that's the case,
we've seen Ayuk without training camp, and right. He is not capital A Ayuk. That is a different right. Ayuk.
Yeah, and I think that's why you heard Devontae Adams mention the 49ers in his West Coast. I think that's why I heard personally Brandon Cooks put the 49ers in the mix of the teams he was interested in going to is because, and these were pre-Debo. So they knew already that the 49ers were potentially going that direction and why they probably need a veteran wide receiver.
Oh man. I was really big on don't draft a wide receiver this year because we have two young wide receivers. Now I'm like, you need a vet and you need a rookie. You need both. And it's just, again, we just talked about the six needs on defense. And now it's like, all right, we got two needs in the wide receiver room, despite having three second contract wide receivers. Like what the hell, man? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to give you a bunch of names at wide receiver. Okay. And I know you're talking big names, but here's some of the guys that I would be interested in. And again, I want value. I want bargain bid here. I'm going to give you like seven names that you tell me if any of these stick. Okay. Darius Slayton, Tyler Boyd, Rondale Moore, Noah Brown, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Tylan Wallace, Jamison Crowder. Any of those did the barometer?
Yeah, Westbrook-Ikhine, right away, that one got my attention. I'm like, yeah, this is a physical big receiver that can make some plays on the outside. I think he was one that stood out. And then, Darius Slayton. Now, my only issue with Darius Slayton, because I think he's a phenomenal player, I'm definitely interested in the 49ers adding him because I think he could play X early until Ayuk came back. Then you could find some roles for him, but there's plenty of snaps to go around. My problem is I went on SpoTrack and I'm looking at some of the values or potential market values, and they're talking about him getting $15 million per season. And I just don't think the 49ers are going to pay $15 million for a 28-year-old receiver. It's crazy, but
the wide receiver contracts are just stupid, and we're paying three of them. And one of them's not even going to play for us.
Now, what are I will say this, John. They do have Brandon Cooks is a $5.1 million receiver per year. And I will say 100%, this is direct knowledge, that is not what he is going to get on the open market. He's going to get double-digit plus, and he said that's what he's going to get. So just so we know, we know that that's some of the numbers are wrong, so maybe his number's not $15 million, Darius Slayton. But the wide receiver money is going crazy.
So my thing is, like, okay – Darius Slayton going to get double-digit money. Why not get Dre Greenlaw for $6 million as opposed to, like, one of these? Because they're going to get paid. And I would just go cheap. I'm a big Tylan Wallace guy. I remember whenever he was at Oklahoma State. Jamison, like, you can get these value guys that you can scheme up. And, yeah, they're not your starters. You're not selling their jerseys. But, like, gosh, I want more of this at a wide receiver position that we've invested so damn much and neglected other positions. I don't want to neglect the defense. I don't want to neglect the offensive line. I want to neglect the number five wide receiver. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just I just don't want this premium draft capital and premium salary cap capital going to this position any longer. You build from the inside out. It's one of my biggest frustrations with the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan, but it's where we are. That's okay. I'm okay. I'm not that mad. I'm mad. but I'm not that mad, but I'm mad. So let's go back to Debo. Maybe this will make me feel better. Where are you on the compensation return? Are the 49ers even going to be able to trade Debo? Are they going to have to release him? What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think this has been one of the most interesting predicaments I think the 49ers have been in, is you have a contract that is appealing to another team, but not really appealing to the 49ers to trade away. You get a lot more money back if you designate him for a June 1 release. And that, to me, makes the most sense. You get a $10 million cap hit this season. You get $20 million in 2026. That is more affordable. So I don't know what they're expecting to get on the draft market. I wonder if they're trying to see if they can gauge what he's worth, let him go out and do the work, find a trade partner, gauge what he would be worth so they can make a decision. But they're going to have to move on this before March 22nd, whether they're trading him or designating him for a June 1 cut. They need to make a decision here pretty soon. And I think it will happen because we're coming up to free agency. We're talking about the 49ers being involved in the free agent hunt for a wide receiver. You have to have a decision made. I just don't know what they're going to fetch on the open market, because everyone out there, kind of like with Cooper Kupp, they know that this is a position where you could wait on the 49ers and they're going to have to waive him anyway or release him anyways. And then you could go out and negotiate for him. The only teams that might jump on this are the teams that don't think they could get Debo Samuel services if it's not in a trade, that they couldn't get him to come there because they're unsavorable. You know, he doesn't want to play for them. So that's the only thing the 49ers got going for him. But what's it going to be? A mid-round pick, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth? I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Nathan says, man, if the 49ers trade Debo to the Broncos, do we take a wide receiver, a free agency in the draft? If Debo's got, I think we do both. I think we just do both. Kyle Shanahan just can't help himself. He just can't help himself. I think it's going to be both. I really, really do. Shout out to my man, Mike C. I messed it up. He says, can all the topics be about defensive tackles? Gosh, we need defensive tackles. Like, Kyle Shanahan needs wide receivers. I hope that he figures that out. And we got this awesome question, so I'm going to turn it over to you, Ant. Walter Nolan at Banks at 11. Both are available. You're the GM. You're on the clock. Who are you taking?
You know, it's interesting because it depends on if they think Kelvin Banks can slide inside and play guard in year one. I like instant impact when I'm talking about a player in the top 15. I think Walter Nolan would be a player that he probably wouldn't start, but he would probably be a big part of your rotation. I don't really love either one of them at 11. I love both of them more at 16 through 20. But I think if I was going to pull the trigger, this might shock a lot of people, I would probably go ahead and get the offensive tackle for the reason that there's so many defensive tackles in this draft that you can go grab guys in mid rounds and they can be highly productive in year one and still develop into big time players. I love Omar Norman Lott out of Tennessee. You're talking 6'3", 315 pounds, great first
pass
step,
pass rush,
and got the size to be able to take on double teams. I love guys like that later on. So that's why I think I see the depth. It's like wide receiver last year. It was like, do we really need to go wide receiver round one? There's so many good ones. And I think sit with defensive tackle. But I like Walter Nolan a lot, but I think you can hit offensive tackle in the first with this and still get really good defensive tackles later.
Okay, I'm creating this thing together right now. Here we go. Here's my question. This is for everybody in the chat. This or that, okay? So first round, third round. Would you rather have Kelvin Banks Jr., first round, third round, Omar Norman Lott, the defensive tackle, or, so either or, Walter Nolan, first round, and Anthony Belton, third round, at left tackle. So, Banks, Omar Norman Lott, or Nolan and Anthony Belton Jr.? So, I want Ant to answer, and I want everybody else to throw this in the chat, what you want. Because this is the opportunity cost whenever you're making these choices, the first round versus third round, all those things. We all agree, offensive line, defensive line are needs. Which one would you go with, Ant?
I would go with option A. I think that that's the better option of the two because I think that Kelvin Banks has the ability to eventually take over for Trent Williams. You see that potential and upside. And I think when you look at Omar Norman Lott, I mean, this dude is a Chris Kocurek guy. This is what he likes. He's going to fit in. He's going to plug and play. He's going to be a very good player. I think you are losing a little bit when it comes upside with Walter Nolan, but I find Kelvin Banks is supremely better than Anthony Belton. I don't see Anthony Belton as a left tackle in the NFL. I think he's a right tackle, and I think there's a lot of things that he needs to develop on, and I know there's a lot of people that are high on him, but I see a lot of waist bending. I see a lot of off-balance type things when I look at Anthony Belton. Big, physical, great, a lot of work to do. So to me, I see Kelvin Banks being a lot further along. So I like the Banks, Norman Lott, compared to what you're going to get with Belton and then with Walter Nolan.
So just in the live chat, we had 10 votes for the Walter Nolan one and 8 votes for the Banks one. I personally would go with Banks as well. But again, I want that guy who has a chance to be left tackle. And again, I'm going to say this nonstop for the next 3 months. This might be the best defensive tackle draft class in the history of the NFL draft. Now, is it going to pay out that way? I don't know. But Daniel Jeremiah, what he said, last year there were 12 starting defensive tackle grades he gave out. This year he's already at 24 and still counting. So, yeah. Like, that is ridiculous. Man, the Niners can walk away with two.
And, John, that's why I would actually pitch a different idea of going with a first-round guy like Nick Skorton, an edge rusher who's got so much upside, big physical, adds to your team right away, and going with a Donovan Jackson in round two. He's a plug-and-play left guard, in my opinion. I think you could plug him in, play him at left guard. He'd be ready to go, and you've got your two guards for the next several years. So that would be another option that I'd be interested in, because I think that you could find some pretty good value for interior offensive line in round two, and then still hit on defensive tackle in round three and four and get plenty of guys that can make an impact on your team. I don't think you have to address it so early. I think in a lot of drafts, people don't want to hear this. Walter Nolan would have went at the end of the first round. I think that's kind of where I see him when I watch his film.
That's where he is too. You look at Daniel Jeremiah and Dane Brugler, which I know they're not gospel, but they're kind of creme de la creme whenever it comes to the draft community. Neither one of them had Walter Nolan in the top 15. And I think, where was he at on, I want to make sure I get this correct. You got to scroll down a ways, man. Good Lord. He's got 29. Dane Brugler has Walter Nolan 29th overall. So this would be kind of our last topic here. A great conversation starter from Mark here. He says, I think the best strategy would be to trade back around 10 picks, try to get an extra second rounder. We have a lot of needs, but then Invader comes back with, man, I'd be scared to trade down below 15. Is there a sweet spot? I think everybody wants to trade down in the draft. The problem is you have to find somebody that's willing to trade up. Is there a number or is there a spot in the first round where you're like, you know what? I don't really care what you're offering. I'm not moving below this. Where do you kind of see that sweet spot being? The 49ers pick at 11. How far down would you be willing to go for a trade back?
Well, I think what's interesting is I haven't officially put together like all my grades for all these are first Same. Round, second round. But I'm leaning towards the fact that I'm not going to have a lot of first round grades. I'm going to have a lot of guys when you get to like, probably like 12, 12 through 30 that are really similar in grade. And so I'm thinking you go into the early 20s, you're talking 21, 22, maybe the Chargers want to come up and get their tight end or something like that. I wouldn't be opposed to dropping 10, 11 spots and picking up extra draft capital to be able to secure a player, because I think there's still going to be really good players there. And you might not love a guy like Josh Simmons at 11, but you might love him at 22. And I think that's one of the things. You pay a guy less, which helps the 49ers salary cap. You get more players in the draft, more value in round two, round three. So I think trading back is not a bad idea. You just have to have a worthy participant on the other end, which we don't know if that's going to happen. But I do think the 49ers will look at all avenues to be able to trade back. I think most likely is probably 5 or 6 spots. But I would love to see a double-digit drop, because I still think there's going to be a really good football player available at that spot that could help their football team.
The little sick gerbil inside my brain. It's like running on this squeaky wheel up there. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to research draft trades in the past at the number 11 spot and kind of see what is there. I'm fine trading back to 20. In fact, I'm similar to you. Again, we're working through, and I wanted to get out my draft book for all of our supporters on Patreon and the49ersrush.com. I was hoping by this week. I'm behind. I'm a loser. But I really think that, man, there's like 7 or 8 blue chippers. That's it. And I don't think there's going to be a big difference at 11 than 33. Like, I'm fine falling back big time. And I know, yeah, but we never picked this high. Well, you got to go with what you got. And it's supply and demand. And the supply just ain't there this year. Not to say you can't get a difference maker at 11, but man, if I could get an extra second or if I can get some future picks, I think I'm falling back, man. I don't think I have a floor. I don't know. Let's just make it an AFC team. If 27, the Baltimore Ravens, okay? I'm just throwing this a hypothetical as we're going right now. Their pick is worth 680 points. To jump up to 11, that pick's worth 1250. If Baltimore called and said, hey, we're going to give you our first this year and first next year, which is going to be a back-end pick, I'm taking that damn trade. I'm not saying they would, but Ant, Baltimore calls. You get pick 27 this year, and you get a first rounder next year. We'll take a fourth next year. You know, the Niners will send Baltimore a fourth next year. Not saying they would, whatever, but what's your answer? First this year, first next year, you get pick 27. You fall back 16 spots. What are you saying, Ant?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm making that every single day. I think that's the type of value you can't pass up. And I think the 49ers are looking for some sort of deal. I mean, we talked earlier about Javon Kinlaw. They went back one spot and they got the necessary draft capital to move up for Brandon Ayuk. And I think that that's the type of thing the 49ers do, is they will get that. And then all of a sudden they take pick 99 and they turn it into pick 80 and they end up striking on another big time player. And the 49ers hit so well last year on their first 4 or 5 picks that I think that there's a lot of confidence in the way that they evaluate. And so I think they could fall back, feel comfortable with 27. That's where they normally draft anyways, and still pick up extra capital that they could use potentially. Now, all of a sudden, you could trade next year's second if you needed to jump back up into the first, or you could trade next year's third because you have that extra first-round pick. 100%, I'd be interested in that, and I think John Lynch would too. It also makes you a player if you're talking about everybody that wants Myles Garrett. Well, guess what? If you drop back, all of a sudden you've got 2 first rounds to play for Myles Garrett. It makes it a little bit more easy for the 49ers to pull off a trade like that.
I would love to get some Myles Garrett. Invader, he says, who are the Ravens traded up for, though, if there's only 8 blue chippers? Well, maybe Will Johnson. They value corners more. They value wide receivers. They have a bigger need for wide receiver. Tet McMillan falls, or Luther Burden's there. You know, I don't know. And again, I'm just throwing out an AFC hypothetical, flying by the seat of my pants. But these are the type of conversations that happen in war rooms. And whenever teams are preparing for the draft, they go through these scenarios. And the numbers aren't far off. Just looking from a trade standpoint. Now, I'm going to do my homework off air, and I'm going to figure out how to research number 11 draft pick trades and see what I can figure out. Bring that back to you at a later time. But, man, this has been fun. I think we answered a little bit. I learned. I'm excited about that. And I really do appreciate you and just kind of all the work you do. I know you're working your tail end off with draft stuff. And just if I could say anything, go subscribe, no matter where you are, 49ers Cutback, and just learn. Learn. Trust me. Ant's going to teach you. And man, that dude was, nobody was more right about Dominique Pooney than Cutback, the man Ant himself. So he knows what the hell he's talking about. So any parting words before we wrap this show up, my friend?
No, I just really enjoyed it, John. I think this is a fun conversation. I always enjoy it because, you know, you're doing all your work as well. I mean, and we're going to have different perspectives, and it's fun to bounce it off each other. But then there's the same things that we agree on, because when you know what the 49ers like to do in their draft and their evaluation process, you kind of stumble on certain things that make sense and certain players that make sense. And so I think that that's one of the funnest things. So I definitely appreciate the forum where we can come on here and talk. And I think it always helps me. And I'm sure that it helps the audience as well, as we kind of bounce things off. We get different perspectives, and there's really intelligent people over in the chat that bring knowledge all the time. And I love it. So yeah, this is always a fun thing, and I'm looking forward to it. Lots of more draft conversations, I'm sure, as we push closer. We haven't even got to the combine yet, and we're already very deep into this.
Oh, I love it. And real quick, NY Niners, big supporter, great dude. He wants to know your thoughts. If you've looked into Connor Colby, the Iowa interior offensive lineman yet, do you have any thoughts on him? If not, no worries. We'll add it to next show. If not,
add it to the next show. I haven't looked at Connor Colby. And I, you know what's funny? He actually came up like a couple days ago, but I did not get into the film. So I can't speak on Connor Colby, but I'll definitely look at that so we could talk about it on a future episode.
Dude, I love it. Look at that. We call that in the industry a teaser. So next Thursday, come back for the Connor Colby draft talk. We are insane, and you are insane for being with us, but we are so thankful. And hopefully this Niners offseason just continues to shoot up. And you are the man. And for everybody else, until next time, stay strong, faith.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.